This is a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2 p.m, our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews and culture pieces from across Aotearoa Dunedin.
Kia ora, you're listening to R1 News Radio 1 91 FM. You just listened to Don't Think by Nathan Haynes. I'm Amy, and on the radio with me today we've also got Yana Gleeson. Next up for you, we have got the news bulletin. We're also lucky enough to have the President, Liam, and the Vice President, Amy, in for an interview to discuss what they've got coming up for themselves next year. And we've also got our final scoop on the stars with Yana and the final What's the Haps with Amy. But for now, we have got the news bulletin.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
You're listening to the R1 News Bulletin for Friday, the 18th of October. This is the final news bulletin for the year. I'm Amy.
And I'm Yana. In local news, a man adorned in high vis and a
lanyard has been trespassed by police by masquerading as a DCC worker and turning up to flats conducting welfare checks, reports critic Te Arohi. The man visited flats on Maitland and Stafford Street, conversing with several residents and acting in an erratic and excited manner, swearing and yelling as he took a phone call in front of suspicious students. What's more, the man was carrying a hatchet, or an axe, whilst claiming that he was conducting these welfare checks. He had been roaming the area for a while before entering an unlocked but occupied flat. Upon questioning from one of the tenants, he showed them his home-brewed fake identification card and accidentally dropped a hatchet out from underneath his shirt in front of all the flatties. Hashtag awkward. The interaction immediately turned sour and the man was still trying to win the trust of the residents. As another flat member turned up, the man took the opportunity to attempt reconcealing his axe with little success, and was eventually coaxed out of the flat. However, he warned the residents that he would be back later that evening to make sure that they had locked their door. This, of course, prompted the flatmates to dial the non-emergency number 105, which led to the capture of the man and a trespass notice from the flat for a minimum of 2 years. If this hasn't convinced you to lock your flat door, I don't know what will.
In national news, Household New Zealand names are teaming up in a new campaign for the New Zealand Herpes Foundation that launched last Sunday. Sir Ashley Bloomfield, Sir Graham Henry, Sir Buck Shelford, Mia Motu, Angela Dravid, Dame Sue Bagshaw and Anne Bately Burton explain what herpes is, how common it is, whether you need to be worried or feel awkward about it, and how to fight the stigma associated with the STI. Up to 80% of New Zealanders will get genital or oral herpes at some stage in their lives, but research has shown that most people are too afraid of judgment to actually talk about it. 26.8% of women and 17.3% of men in New Zealand will have genital herpes by the time they are 38. However, more than 80% of people with herpes won't have any symptoms at all. Bloomfield has said that the shame associated with herpes could have a significant psychological impact and can leave many people feeling isolated. 30% of all Kiwis diagnosed with herpes experience depressive or suicidal thoughts. The campaign's main phrase is, "Let's make New Zealand the best place in the world to have herpes." Professional boxer Mia Motu has said, "If we can normalise it and let it be okay, then it gives people the courage to be like, well, there's nothing wrong with me." Her message to anyone feeling embarrassed is, don't live in shame and be true to who you are. Research has shown that more than a third of Kiwis believed that they would be treated differently by their friends and family if it was known that they had herpes. Elena Luxmore from the Herpes Foundation says that for most people, the shame of having herpes is worse than the symptoms of the virus itself.
In international news, fans, fellow family have been left shocked and devastated after the news that former One Direction member Liam Payne has passed away. Buenos Aires police said in a statement that Payne fell from the third floor of the Casa Sur Hotel that he was staying at in Palermo. Medics say that the singer sustained extremely serious injuries and was declared deceased on site. In a distressing emergency call made by a staff member of the hotel, he described an aggressive man who could be under the influence of drugs and alcohol, and asked someone to arrive immediately as he could not tell if Payne's life was in danger. Police arrived to find him passed away. He was 31 years old. Argentine media reported that Payne was in Buenos Aires to attend the concert of one of his former bandmates, Niall Horan. Liam's journey into the musical world began when he entered into the British competition The X Factor in 2010. Auditioning as a solo artist, before being grouped with four other soloists to form the band One Direction. From that moment, Liam Payne, Harry Styles, Niall Horan, Louis Tomlinson and Zayn Malik became global icons. This undeniable chemistry and strong brotherhood that the band formed with each other earned them a global fan base of devoted fans who call themselves Directioners. The former band members have each paid a touching tribute to their friend online, remembering him not only as a bandmate, but as a brother. In a joint statement signed by singers Louis, Harry, Niall and Zayn, they said, "In time, and when everyone is able to, there will be more to say. But for now, we will take some time to grieve and process the loss of our brother, who we love dearly." They concluded their statement by saying that their thoughts are with his family, friends and fans, who loved him alongside them. Zayn shared a personal emotional tribute to his bandmate on Instagram, saying that he has lost a brother. He says, "Liam, I have found myself talking out loud to you, hoping you can hear me," as he shared a picture of two of them together when they were younger. Louis Tomlinson also took to social media, saying that he has lost a brother. He states, "I first met Liam when he was 16 and I was 18. I was instantly amazed by his voice, but more importantly, as time went on, I got a chance to see the kind of brother I'd longed for all my life." He goes on to say that if Payne's son Bear, who he shared with former partner Cheryl Cole, ever needs me, I will be the uncle he needs in his life. The singer's family also released a heartfelt statement saying that he will forever live in our hearts and will remember him for his kind, funny and brave soul. Beyond his fame, Payne was known for his generosity and kind soul, often using his platform to raise awareness for mental health, something he personally struggled with and spoke candidly about. It is clear that Liam's legacy will live on, not only in the music industry, but in the many lives he touched along the way and the many childhoods who he helped shape with his presence in One Direction.
In sports news, one of the main highlights for people running the Auckland Marathon is the waterfront views you get from running over the Harbour Bridge and along Tamaki Drive. Despite having perfect vision, one of the participants, Justin Weston, however, will see nothing but black. Weston will run the 42-kilometre route blindfolded to raise money for the Mental Health Foundation of New Zealand. His choice of charity is not random. Having struggled with depression since the age of 18, the 28-year-old wants to support a charity that can help others with the same struggles. He found that pursuing goals is what pulled him out of his depression, and so he threw himself into making and pursuing goals. Having the discomfort, pushing through boundaries, and then the reward afterwards is what made him fall in love with it, and always has three goals on the go, so that once one is complete, there are others still providing the momentum. He stated that if he doesn't have a goal in front of him, life feels worthless. He had recently run an unofficial half marathon, and despite already considering a full marathon, he wanted to add an extra challenge to symbolise his mental health journey. Putting on a blindfold, running a marathon, and adding in fundraising to the mix felt like the perfect decision for him. While many other runners will be aiming to get a goal time or pace, Weston is aiming to raise $25,000 before the race and finish it with friends and family. He said, "I want to go across that line with my guide and with a bit of a circle around us, just to purely show that symbolism of there are people around you trying to help you through this." As of yesterday, he has raised almost $2,900 and has only 9 days until the marathon. He has also said that the only way he won't do it is if he is forced into an ambulance.
And today marks the final day of Radio 1's 40th birthday week. Yesterday, we finished counting down Radio 1's top 40 tracks, with The Chill's Pink Frost taking out number one spot. You can find a playlist of all the tracks on our Spotify, Radio 1 91 FM. We then partied at the Crown with the lovely Becca Caffin Band, Risk, back-to-back with DJ Bax, Spate Spats Attack, and the Futurians. Sean Norling of the Futurians and R1's former station manager will be taking over the 2 to 4pm slot after our final R1 News show of 2024 for his pick of honourable mentions, the tracks that didn't make the top 40 but are still iconic in the 40 years of Radio 1, so stay tuned.
This has been the final R1 News Bulletin for 2024. Today's bulletin was written by Yana Gleeson, Amy Martin and Jemima Lorimer and read to you by Amy Martin and Yana Gleeson.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news.
Make sure to stick around for the interview with future OUSA VP and the final scoop on the stars and watch the haps. But for now, we've got Hang by Merck.
Everything I wanna do. Hello, hello, hello. We are back. We are going to have our interview with our Vice President, Amy Martin, for OUSA next year. Hi, Amy. Say hi.
Hi.
unfortunately, we cannot have Liam here, who is the president of OUSA next year, because he wasn't on his socials and he didn't get to come into the studio today. So, unfortunately, we do not have him here.
A little bit unfortunate, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, congratulations on your new role, Amy.
Thank you.
Obviously, it will be taking effect full effect next year. But what have been some things this year that you've had to do to prepare for your new responsibilities? Any personal things you've had to do for your new role?
I haven't really done anything in terms of like preparing for the role yet. I'm not going to lie, it was a bit of a spur of the moment thing signing up for this in the first place. I was at home on semester break and I saw it advertised on the Instagram and I think I got an email about it and I was like, actually, that could be quite cool to do. And I sent a screenshot of it to my friends and I was like, would you guys nominate me and second me for this position? And they were like, yes, absolutely. So yeah, I came back, filled out the forms, and then they were like, well, this is what you need to do to campaign. And that was kind of it. I feel like the campaigning was pretty easy. There was like a fair amount that there were a lot of rules and policies around things that we could and could not do. And then I'm not going to lie, the forum was probably the scariest part. I had no idea what sort of questions they were going to ask me. I feel like the AVP role is very flexible and it's very like open. There's not like a specific thing around what you do like with the academic role or with the finance strategy officer. Like they're obviously going to ask you about budgeting and things like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the AVP role, it's a lot about like managing people and time management, all that sort of stuff. And I was like, I don't know what sort of questions they're going to ask. So I was a little nervous about that. But overall, it was pretty good. And it was actually really awesome to campaign with everyone. So I was running up against Jet, who's the political rep for next year. And it was actually really fun to kind of work with him and, you know, bounce ideas off each other. And especially in the forum, we were both, a lot of the time we were like, yeah, no, 100% agree with what he said, and just expanding on that. And then, yeah, same for him as well. But I think one of the really helpful things is that I've been lucky enough to be vice president of PsychSoc this year, which is the Psychology Society. So kind of getting that little bit of experience in terms of working on an exec and understanding like a little bit of the ins and outs. And then I was also lucky enough to get president for PsychSoc for next year as well. So
excited
to work in the exec again for that next year and just hopefully bring some more events and, yeah, working on that whole student engagement. but really excited for next year to see what comes along and see what happens.
I'm definitely confident in OUSA that we've got a very nice vice president on our hands to take care of everything. So that's very, very nice to hear.
Thank you.
I would like to know how you would describe your leadership style next year in 3 emojis and no explanations.
3 emojis. Mm. Oh, wow. See, I do a leadership paper for management, which is one of the half of my degree, but we've never gone through it in emojis. We've done different leadership styles, but not emojis.
This is just harder than any of your essays that you have to do.
Exactly. I'd say what's the smiling one with the hearts all around it? Probably the rock and roll sign.
Okay, yep.
And then the champagne chinking.
The
cheers one.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, those would be my 3 emojis. That's okay. Going to be my leadership style for next year.
Madam Vice President. That's my Vice President. Okay. What is one campus issue that you're secretly excited to tackle that might not be on the official agenda yet? Like maybe more nap stations in the library, some soundproof booths maybe? Oh. That could be cool.
Okay. Well, during the campaigning process, obviously, there was a lot of research that I did into things and policies that have been passed. And obviously, everyone's working towards student bars, which is something that I'm very keen to work towards as well. I think it's so important to have the like safe drinking culture. Mm-hmm. I think there's so many awful, awful things that have happened down here because there's not that safe space. But I think this is going to sound so bad, but my main thing going into this is that I'm so open to what other people want.
Yeah, that's like, a good thing. I don't think
obviously I'm going to pick up on different things that I want to achieve throughout the year. I've got those main things that I want to do. I want like the mental health space. Mm. I want to like find a room at the OUSA Club and Socks building and try and get some of the counselors or therapists from student health in and just have like an open space where people can go and talk about just minor struggles that they've got going on. Mm-hmm. So a lot of time you're like, oh, well, it's not, I'm not depressed. I'm not super anxious. I'm not feeling like at the lowest point of my life, I don't think I need to go and see a therapist. But you've got these problems that are slowly building up, which can get you to that point of breaking.
Mm.
And I think it's so important to have a space where you can go and get just like little tidbits of advice, because it's not always best to go to your friends. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they will just egg you on.
Yeah.
And so I think it's so important to have that space where you can go and get some proper advice. And I want it to be a space where you can get advice from both the counsellors, but also from other students who have been in a similar situation. Like if you're like, oh, my flatmates are just like getting on my nerves. I don't know how to have this discussion with them. Mm-hmm. Being able to talk to someone who's been in a similar situation who's like, well, I went through that. This is what I did. Went terribly. Don't do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, just like that sort of experience. But yeah, I'm so open to other people's things. Like working on the radio this year and talking about like the band practice spaces and the music recording spaces,
mm.
and like working towards finding some sort of space where people can do that, because live music is so important to the student culture down here, and it's so important to keep that going. Like I 100% with what Keegan was saying during that time, like it is like so crucial to the student culture down here, and it brings so many people together, and it gives so many people that chance to like express themselves and try something new.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many bands that we wouldn't have today if we didn't have those sort of practice spaces. Like look mm-hmm. at 660, they started down yep. here, you know. So I think it's so important to like help. I think being in this position, it's going to be so good to have that position of power to help people achieve those goals that they want.
Mm.
And that's kind of the main thing that I'm going for. So if you've got like a really good backup point for having nap pods in the library, then absolutely I will vouch for you and I will push for that and I will see what we can do at the university.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But it's just, yeah, working with other people and working with the exec as well. So with the student bars, I want to work with the Daniel, our finance and strategy officer, to see what we've got in their budget to try and
mm-hmm.
see what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it all sounds very ambitious. And you seem very confident and passionate about it, and it sounds all very nice.
Oh, 100%. Very passionate. Yeah. I've got big goals, big dreams, big aspirations.
I'm just wondering about this, like, for example, taking the safe mental health space where yes. people can go.
Yeah.
Is that something that you've seen has been tried but failed previously in the past years, or is this, like, something personal that you're trying to bring forward?
Yeah, well, so last year, obviously going into flatting for the first time, different experience. You know, you live at home, you live in halls, and then you go into a flat and you're living with friends or you're living with strangers, and it's such a different vibe. And sometimes you don't always feel comfortable bringing up those sorts of like conflicts and things. And I think it's so important to have a space where you can go. And sometimes normally that space is your flat and mm-hmm. your flatmates, because they're usually your good friends. But I went to student health last year to try and talk to one of the counsellors or therapists there, just because I was having a bit of a rough time. And because the wait list is so long, they actually recommended to me this new program that they'd started up. So it was something that was in the process of working, but they just didn't have that advertisement space.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't able to continue past one semester.
Mm-hmm.
So I absolutely loved it, and I got a couple of my friends to come along when they were talking to me about things that they had going on. But it's something that I definitely want to push for to bring back, and also bring up that like awareness of it being a space that's there, because they didn't mm-hmm. advertise it. So mm-hmm. they had like a little sandwich board, and it was like counseling on now,
mm-hmm.
but it was in the Clubs and Socks building. So if you didn't know about it previously, you wouldn't have been able to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think it's so important. I've just actually noticed Liam is just outside. Yeah, he's probably going to come in a second and answer some of these questions. Hey, Liam.
Hi, Liam. A little bit late.
But yeah, having those like mental health spaces, I think, is so important. And I was lucky enough last year to have that space to talk about it to the counsellors, and I want to try and bring it back if people are keen for it.
Okay. Well, hi, Liam.
Sorry, I have a 5,000-word essay due at 4:00. and I am 3,000 words.
That's so fine. That's so fine. We're just discussing Amy's push to bring in a safe mental health space in her new like campaign or policy for next year. So I just had the previous question I asked her was, what's something, a campus issue or something in your campaign that you want to secretly tackle next year that might not be on the agenda in OUSA currently?
A new one is kind of tough. The thing I've really been quietly pushing for this year is a common lunch hour for all students. So that's from 12 to 1, probably on a Wednesday, every student's have off. Like, it's just a lunch break that everyone gets. And it seems weird that we don't have one. We used to have one at Otago every day.
Okay.
Then with semesterization, we lost it. So that's something I'm currently pursuing. It just seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, particularly right now, like at the AGM yesterday, we did a sausage sizzle and there was like easily 100 people there. Mm-hmm. There was 100 people there for quorum. But there were so many people and they just posted up on the lawn. It was so lovely. Mm-hmm. And if we could get, you know, clubs could run events or, you know, whatever. Like, it would just be such a nice little well-being break, I think, from what can otherwise be a very hectic time. Mm. Whether it'll work in winter is a separate question. But, yeah, that's currently what I'm pursuing. Next year, I mean, I'm shocked you didn't say student bar.
Oh, I did it.
Okay,
sorry,
good.
But if you were here, you would have known.
Yeah, that's fair. I deserve that one. yeah, I think that's got to be one of our most important efforts. I mean, after the Cristani inquest, coroner's report, it's very clear that students need safe drinking spaces. Mm-hmm. And has anyone at a party will know, it gets rowdy. So if we can control those sort of spaces and make sure that, like, we know, everybody in this room knows that students are going to drink, right?
Yeah.
So how can they do it in a safe space without breaking the bank?
Yeah, yes. And also recognising the fact that there are precautions in place already in terms of, like, you know, signing up your party to say that you've got this happening, getting security and all that sort of stuff. But it just takes one thing to go wrong.
100%.
And it all falls apart. But having the student bars is so important.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, I won't be here next year, unfortunately. I'll be back in Melbourne, but it'll be nice to know that people will be having a safe space to go to, even though I won't be here to enjoy it.
We'll send you pictures.
Oh, thank you.
We'll make you jealous.
Yes.
Thank you. A little less serious question. What is both of your go-to karaoke songs? Like, are you going to... are you going to do some Mariah Carey? Are you going to do a duet? Are you doing a solo?
It depends who I'm with, because if I'm with my girlfriend, she loves karaoke. She does More Than a Woman.
Lovely.
Which is
lovely.
A tough one to follow up. But usually I go, what's the Elvis song that he, like, really hits?
That one Elvis song.
That one, you know, that one, the only one that everybody knows.
A classic one.
It was the Christmas special one, and I'm just thinking of the Elvis move. That's the one I do. I don't do karaoke very often.
You do that one song.
I do that one song that I can't name. Trust.
I'm a huge karaoke fan. I mean, I haven't done karaoke down here because I don't know if there's any other ones, but I only know the one near the Meridian Mall,
yes.
And they
love
play your singing out onto the street.
Yeah, yeah. Love that. So funny.
But with no backing track. So it's just your singing, which I'm not a huge fan of.
And then it makes it worse because there's just windows for people to just look
exactly.
in at you.
Yeah. But also, I walked past once and the security guard was standing out there. I was like, ooh, and he was like, I know, they've been here for an hour.
Yeah.
Oh
my God. I haven't been back. I got thrown out.
Oh,
yeah,
dear.
That was rough. I was too good, you know. I was offered a record label and they just thought, let's get him out of here right now.
Yeah, he's gonna break the records. Yeah.
Okay. If you both could have one random and silly superpower to help you during your presidency and vice presidency, what would it be and how would it help you solve any of the campus problems you hope to take care of?
I can only think of, like, real superpowers, which is not helpful. And most of them are, like, super speed or, like, stopping time to fit more work in one day. I think if it was, like, you could just take a document, put it in your brain, because there is so much goddamn reading. There is so much constantly. Like, I have council readings. Keegan told me there was one that was, like, 800 pages. Mm-hmm. I had a humanities divisional leadership meeting that had 800 pages worth of agenda.
Ooh.
It's like, who needs that? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's your whole day is spent preparing for a 2-hour meeting, and it's just...
Wow.
it's kind of unproductive. So that would be my actual picks. I can't think of a silly superpower.
I mean, I think I saw one in Year 6, and that's always been my go-to. It's the ability to change probability.
Ooh.
So you can be like, what's the probability that my bank account is going to have an extra grand in it today? 100%.
So that's just odds are on steroids.
Exactly. But that's always been my go-to, because I love it. And, you know, you can do a little bit of spite in there as well. Like, what's the probability that someone's going to, you know, fall down the stairs?
Not on your watch, Mr. Madam Vice President.
Oh, not when you're never. Health and safety liable. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness, never.
If I fall downstairs, I'm just embarrassment.
Just embarrassment. But, yeah, I gotta go with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, honestly, how are the nerves for next year? Are you, are you excited? How do you feel going into it? Do you feel pressure from, let's say, the hours that you need to fulfill, or, what people are expecting of you in your roles? Is that something that's a little bit daunting to you?
Currently, the pressure is just getting ready. You know what I mean? It's kind of strange because just the time of year it is, it's still in the middle of exams, assignments for me at least. I've still got a dissertation to somehow write before February. But there's also, the proctor's invited me to get coffee and, doing meetings like that where it's like, okay, I need to start thinking about that, or planning training for the team next year, which we have to get onto.
Yes.
But no worries.
No work talk.
No work talk. So it's like, that's the kind of pressure I'm getting. It's quiet confidence for the actual role, but it's more nerves about the, God, there's only a year. You know, you kind of only get one shot at it.
Yep.
So not living up to its potential in the role. But then also there's also the back of my mind of, well, nobody else ran.
So nobody else
has a vision for what this could be.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like my nerves are probably a little bit higher because you've been in the exec already. You've got experience. I don't really know. I'm not quite 100% certain yet on what my role entails. I know it's like a little bit of everything, which is really exciting. But it's also, just those nerves of, what are people's expectations of me, and how am I going to do it, and I hope I don't, let anyone down, that sort of thing. But I'm mostly excited, but it is always that little bit of, ooh, how's this going to go?
Yeah. Well, I think it would be worse if you didn't have any nerves, because that would show you didn't care.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I think do care. It's good. Yeah, of course. She does care, guys, for the record.
I care.
And there is also that, it is open-ended.
Yeah.
So you can kind of do whatever... There's the thing of, there's expectations for the role and that I should be doing something, but it's also, nobody actually knows what anybody does on the exec, which is kind of freeing, and that you can make it your own. And really, whatever you can enjoy, or whatever you do enjoy, you do.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's some stuff that's boring, but you just kind of got to slog through it. So... There are expectations, but don't let them intimidate you, because you can set your own expectations 100%.
Yeah, people only see what you set your precedent to, so...
100%.
Yeah, so I'm sure you'll be fine.
Thank you.
Liam, how long have you been gunning for this role?
It's funny. I had last year, I had the thought of, I would love to be part of the exec. That seems like such a cool gig. And I had talked to Quentin very, very briefly, who was last year's president. And when I was doing the nomination form, I was like, no, surely nobody can just jump straight in at the presidency. That's way too hard. And so I put my name down for polls rep, having done a lot of work, political work before. And then I talked to Keegan, and she was like, oh, yeah, the only reason I ran for president, one of the main reasons, was that nobody else was running, so that the executive needed somebody to run. And I was like, so if I had put my name down, I could have jumped straight in. But... then I was like, okay, that's fine. So I kept going, and then around May, I probably started thinking about it. Me and Keegan did a trip to Wellington for Francisco Hernandez's inaugural speech at Parliament, which was really cool. The whole time it was just like, wow, this is such a cool gig. There's so many cool people you get to meet.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a cool job that I'd never... I hadn't really seen how in-depth it was and what you actually get up to in 40 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I sort of told Keegan, hey, I'm considering it. And she went, okay, you watch how hard I work for the next couple of months and you see if you still want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was definitely a moment of, that's so much work. That's so... Yeah. But probably about then. And then once the campaign started, I was so set that there was somebody else going to go for it, and then nobody did. And that was why my Instagram was chocker, because I had made it in the... I had made all of that, and that's why there's so many spelling mistakes in the space of, like, a week during mid-sem this year.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of planning went into the campaign unnecessarily, which doesn't... I'm kind of waffling around your question, but a couple of months.
Okay. All right. No, well, that sounds good. I mean, I'm feeling very confident about it for both of you guys, so... One last question. I know these are early days for both of you, and you haven't really spent a lot of time together or whatever, but what's one thing that you've both learned about each other during this period of transition into your new roles, and anything that surprised you about each other?
Wow.
A bonding moment here.
I feel like one of the main things I've learned so far about Liam is that he's a real barbecue guy.
Mm. Okay.
Knows how to man the barbecue.
Oh, so the president was on the barbecue yesterday?
I was for the AGM yesterday, but I also, for my birthday party, I had a barbecue, which I was just like, oh, because I don't drink anymore. So I was like, I want kind of something fun that I can do and still be around people while not feeling that obligation to drink. And a barbecue's a good way to do that. What I learned about Amy at that same day is that she makes mean brownies and that she's very sweet and felt an obligation to bring brownies, even though I said there is no expectation that anybody bring food, and she did, and they were killer. They stayed in all my flatmates gobbled them like a day. Bastard.
I can show up empty-handed. But yeah, that was also something else. We both realised that neither of us drank, which is quite fun, quite cool.
Oh, yes.
Any sort of events that we end up at next year. Sober buddies.
And I think it's a good consideration to bring as well with Otago having such a strong drinking culture, like making sure that there are alcohol, and obviously USA is very good for it, but making sure that there are alcohol-free options for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know how that'll work at Hyde, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
No, but peer pressure is a thing, and like I feel like the reaction that people get when you tell people, like when Amy told me she doesn't drink, I was like, oh, what? Yeah. Why? Yeah. And so I feel like it's you've been conditioned to feel like as a student you have to get into that culture here, and otherwise you will be like, you won't be with everyone, or you'll be alone or an outcast. And I like that both the president and the vice president can set the standard of saying and showing to people that you can be at places and you can be social with people and not have to drink to have fun.
100%.
I love
a wee pint night. You'll mostly catch me at pint night. Anytime someone invites me to something, I'm always keen, always down. Everyone's always very excited to see me there as well. Drunk people get very excited to see you when you show up to something.
Yeah.
It's like, oh!
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm here.
And that energy's infectious from drunk people as well. Like, you just pick up on it.
Yeah.
And you just got to match them and keep going, because they don't care.
Yeah.
Exactly as you say, they're just happy you're there.
We'll not remember it the next day if you do something stupid.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. All right, guys, what a wholesome exec we've got next year. I'm so excited for this. I will not be here, but I'm just so excited for it. So anyway, that was Mr. President, Liam, and Mrs. Vice President, Ms. Vice President, Amy.
That's me.
This has been the R1 News sort of bulletin and interview segment of today, and this is our last one, and we are so lucky to have them on to talk. And so yeah, we'll be closing off for you now, and next up we have Bang Bang by La Dib.
Kia ora, this is the final What's the Haps for the year. I hope you've all gotten up to some fun things this year outside of university, whether they be something that I've suggested, an organised event, or just something fun that you've always wanted to do. Exam season is fully upon us now, but I hope everyone will still be able to find some time to do something that they want and take a proper break from studying so that they don't burn out. If you want one final hurrah, there is UBAR's final event for the year on tonight at 9:30 with the UK's Khan and Neek, with supporting acts of Accept, T-Selector and Bass Intrusion. On Saturday, if you're looking for something more chill, there is the Pre-Loved Clothing Sale at the Mouldy Hill Community Centre at 11, or Reptile Awareness Day at the Museum. This event goes from 10 to 3:30 and is filled with plenty of fun, such as expert talks, face painting and a screening of Rango and more. If Sunday is looking more like your day off, then head to Maggie's for Sketch Club from 2 to 4 with live music from 3 to 5. But if you're feeling like next week might be best and you're going to need to take a break then head over to Pequeno Lounge Bar for a cuddle fix with their Cockers and Cocktails event from 5 to 7pm. All of the dogs are provided, so please don't take your own. Best of luck to everyone for your exams and any travels that you might have coming up, whether it's to your home or not. And enjoy the summer, and hopefully you have lots of events coming up during that time. Make sure to let others know that there is a fun event on, because who knows who else might like to join. But up next for you, we've got Languidly Toot by Singler.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1, here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily wherever you get your podcasts. Or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings. Thanks for listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There are heaps more at r1.co.nz.